Hello, my name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. And I pray today that you're being blessed of the Lord, and I know that if you'll listen to God's Word today, that those blessings can be added to you. But first, I'd like to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all of my listeners. Lord, you know the needs of the hearts of the people that are out there listening. You know the ones, Lord, that need salvation. Cause them to see that you're the only way to God the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That through the shedding of your precious blood, there's only the way that we can have remission of sins and forgiveness. And Lord, I pray for those that are sick, that, Lord, you touch their bodies and give them strength. For those that need financial help, that you help them, O Lord. For those that have children and grandchildren that are in trouble, and the ones that have run away from home, God, touch them, watch over them, and bring them into safety, I pray. Lord, and we pray for our nation, we pray for our leaders, and ask that you bless them and help them to make the right decisions, and help them, Lord, to lead the people back into the ways of holiness, and not to turn their backs on you. But we know, God, that when we reject you, we reject your hand of mercy and protection that is over us. Help us not to be that foolish, Lord, but pray for our country that you bring revival before it's too late. Now touch our hearts this day, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last weeks, I've been preaching a series on the steps of a good man. And today, I want to continue that series, and I have several scriptures that I'd like to share with you. So I want you to stay with me, and let's just see what the Lord has for us today. First, I'd like to read out of Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man, and as I said and have said many times, the good in us is the only part of Jesus that comes through us. There's only good that we can stand on is what Jesus has done for us. He paid the price for us, and we must receive the good that he has given us, and that makes us in right standing with God is when we've accepted him. It says, "The good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." And verse 24 says, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Today I want you to realize that if you will let God order your footsteps and not give up and not quit when the going gets hard, a lot of times we can't see the ending of the journey. A lot of times when me and my husband would be trucking across the country and taking our mobile chapel, we would hit different places, we would hit storms, and sometimes we'd hit rough roads, and sometimes we'd be weary and we'd get tired and from traveling so much, and sometimes we would be just swamped with so much responsibility. But you know what? We didn't give up. We couldn't quit. We knew that wasn't the ending of our journey. We still had to keep on. But I'm seeing a lot of people today, they won't let the Lord order all their footsteps. They'll hit a rough spot in the road and they'll throw their hands up and quit. And if you do that, you're going to miss the blessings of God. Well, you may ask, well, where will the Lord lead me if I let him order my footsteps? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. And I want to go to Psalms 23, and I think we all know this verse. Probably this chapter, most people know it by heart, have heard it many times. The first verse is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When you let God order your footsteps and he's your shepherd, you're not going to be in want. He is going to take care, for he said in Philippians, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." The Lord will, if we will follow him, and you know what, we have to follow him, not lead him. Too many people want to tell God what to do. But let me tell you, God is not your co-pilot. God is the pilot. Jesus is the co-pilot. The Holy Ghost is the navigator. And children, we're just along for the ride. We've got to let God order our footsteps. And it says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord will lead you where there's peace. A lot of people, it looks like to me, they enjoy living in turmoil. And I was around some people the other day, and they come up on me, and when they come up, they were arguing and fussing and just carrying on crazy. And you know, before I even thought, it just flew out of my mouth. I told them, get out, go get away from me. I don't want to be around your arguing. See, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but would have everlasting life. But we don't know James 3:16, where it says, where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and every other evil work. You see, the Lord will put you in a pasture where it's green, where it's calm, where it's still. And that pasture is a pasture that you can feed upon and grow. When you're in an argument and a fuss all the time, you're not going to grow. You're tearing down your life. You're tearing down your health. Mentally, physically, and spiritually, you turn it down when you're always in an argument. Some of you that are listening to me today, all you do is nitpick and argue. Fuss and nitpick over stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans, as the saying goes. You just argue over anything. Everything that don't go your way, you just, you know, you gotta throw a party over it, an argument party. You gotta, fuss. And I know a person, they, when they get around you, they can't never see any good thing that you done. They always picking at, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. You know, we need to know, and we, it's not that we can't be corrected, but hey, sometimes people just need to hear something good they've done. But the Lord will lead you in the green pastures, and it says, beside the still waters. You see, sheep will not drink out of troubled waters. That water has to be still, has to be calm. And that's the way we need to be. We don't need to be around troubled waters. We don't need to be around arguing and fussing all the time. And you know, we're fall of peace with all men and holiness without no man shall see the Lord, the Bible says. You got to follow after peace. Some of y'all, you follow after people that argue and fuss all the time. It's just some people, I used to tell my husband, some people he come in contact with, you had to walkie-talkie. You just had to keep walking and talking and go on, get out of the way. Because it's just some people are not going to hear you. It's just some people that when you try to tell them stuff, they're going to argue and fuss all the time. And you need just to leave them, pray for them. And if you get a chance to talk to them, that's fine. But look, you don't need to dwell there. You don't need to let them get your spirit all stirred up. The Lord is not going to lead you into that. He'll lead you. The Bible says that God will even make your enemies be at peace with you. But your enemies cannot be at peace with you if you're not at peace with God and at peace with yourself. A lot of people that argue and fuss all the time, they just are not at peace with themselves. They in such a mess themselves, they think everybody else ought to be in the same kind of mess they in, and they not happy unless they rain in on your parade. But I tell you what, I got my umbrella of faith up, and you're not going to rain on my parade. I'm being blessed of the Lord. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. And if you want to argue and fuss, go ahead and knock yourself out, but I don't want you around me. I'm not giving you my name and address. You just follow somewhere else. We need to make a stand. Hey, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Just go ahead. One of my friends, I just love what she told her husband one day. She said, Blondie, my husband was just arguing and fussing with me, and she said, I'd had such a rough day, and just as soon as I got in the house, he just lit in on me, and she said, I reached over and handed him the tape recorder and told him to record it, and she said, I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll listen to it in the morning. I love that. You know, sometimes you just need to let it go, drop it, go on out of the way. But we always got to put our 2 cent worth in. You know, we got to tell them how we feel, and then they tell, and then that just adds it on. Some things, it's just need to let it go, drop it. But it says he'll lead me beside the still waters and in green pastures. Then it says that he would restore our soul. A lot of times we get hurt, we get damaged, we go through things, and the Lord won't leave us tore up. When our footsteps are ordered by him, he'll lead us into restoration. Some people that are always in a turmoil, always tore up, always brokenhearted, always crying, something is wrong if that's your whole lifestyle. God will restore you. He will take away that. He will make it right. But you can't grieve and carry on and cry all the time over hurt. You got to let God heal you. I know there are things that are hurt. I know there are things that have cut you to the heart. I know there are times that we get our spirits hurt, but the Lord said He would restore our soul, and He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, years ago, my husband and I was in Bakersfield, California, and we had our mobile chapel. Of course, we had a Kenworth tractor that we pulled our chapel with. And this man, prominent man in the area, came to us and said, "Listen, I know you need a certain piece for your truck at the Kenworth place. You go over there and tell them to give you whatever you need and just tell them that I sent you." So we went to the Kenworth place, and we told the people there, said, "We need so-and-so, and Mr. So-and-so said that we could just charge it to him." Well, when they heard his name, they told us that anything else you need, anything else in this shop you need, whatever you need, help yourself. Just on that man's name, we could have gotten anything we wanted out of that Kenworth shop. You know why? Because of the man's name. The Bible says here that God will lead you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Listen, we have a bank account in heaven. We have a storehouse in heaven. All of our needs are met just on His name. Just mention the name that's above every name, and all of our needs will be met. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. That makes me want to shout, knowing that just the name of Jesus that's above every name, that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He's leading me beside the still waters and the green pastures. I shall not want. It's through His name that He's restoring my soul. I love it. I love it. I love it. His name's sake. He said when you pray, pray in His name. He said He would supply all your need according to His riches and glory by His name. Let me tell you, it's His name. For His name's sake. It is His name that we go under. Not our name. Not what we've done. But it's what Jesus has done. When you realize that it's not a man's name. It's the name of Jesus. And that's why the devil don't want us to use any other name you can call except for the name of Jesus. They don't want them to call the name of Jesus in the service anymore. They don't want them to call the name of Jesus in the schoolhouses anymore. They don't want them to call the name of Jesus in the public buildings anymore. Why? Why are you like it? Because it's through the name of Jesus we get our deliverance. It's through the name of Jesus that our needs are met. It's through the name of Jesus that we have salvation given under no other name except the name of Jesus. That's the reason the devil hates the name of Jesus, because he knows he is a defeated foe, and he knows that if you use the name of Jesus and you call the name of Jesus, that he's got to flee. That's the reason he wants to silence the name of Jesus. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You know, when the Lord is ordering your footsteps, even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to be afraid. And right now in our country, right now, more than ever, we need to know we need not to be afraid. When the Lord orders our footsteps, we, even though there's death may be all around us, plagues may be all around us, terror may be all around us, we don't have to walk in fear, because He said that He goes on to say, "For thou art with me." When we're with Him, we don't have to be afraid. I got a covering today. That name, the name of Jesus, is my covering. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with me. I don't have to be afraid. He's the same one that was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace. He's the same one that was with Daniel down in that lion's den. He was the same one that was with Paul and Silas when they were down in prison. He was the same one that was with Paul on that ship. He's the same one, let me tell you, that fed the 5,000. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear, because He is with us. He said, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." Sometimes your friends say, "I'll stick with you through thick and thin." And the old saying, when things get thick, they thin out. But that's not how Jesus is. He said He would never leave us and He would never forsake us. And His rod and His staff, one was used to pull you out of harm, the sheep out of harm, and one was to just kind of give you a tap to give you straightened out. His rod and his staff will protect us and will correct us. Let me tell you, he loves you today. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. If you'll let him order your footsteps, you will be taken care of and you will be blessed. And it says, and they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We have comfort. We have hope. We have joy. We have peace knowing that God is watching over us. He comforts us. We have that comfort, that blessed assurance. I love that song, blessed assurance. We know that he is with us. He comforts us. When all the world is in fear, when all the world is in turmoil, when all the world is in strife and confusion, we have comfort and we have peace because the Lord is ordering our footsteps. He is our shepherd, and we shall not want. I like what it says, and we shall, not maybe, not if, not if you do this, but we shall not want. When we have made him the leader and the guider of our life, like I said many times before, I see a lot of people, they don't want to play rhythm for Jesus. They want to lead. Let me tell you, you cannot lead. He's got to lead. You've got to follow. You've got to follow him. You've got to follow his leading. And when you follow his leading, you're not going to be led into some mess that you shouldn't be in. Some of you have got yourself in a terrible mess. You in a mess up to your eyeballs right now. You've just covered up with trouble and trial because you wouldn't done it your way and you wouldn't do it God's way. People tried to help you and teach you and try to train you right, but you wouldn't listen. But let me tell you, God loves you and he wants you to stop doing what you're doing and give it to him. Let him lead you and he'll lead you down the path of righteousness, a right way of living. That's what righteousness means. Living right, doing the right thing. It's all right in this do wrong world to do the right thing. I'm going to say that again. It's all right in this do wrong world to do the right thing. We need to do the right thing, and the right thing is God's way, God's things, God's way. Politicians, do the right thing. Live according to God's word. Do the right thing by this country. Do the right thing by the people that put you in office. Do the right thing. And you can only do the right thing when you turn your life over to God. Because let me tell you something. You may think the sin that you do in private don't affect your public life, but it does. What you do in private is going to determine how you live in the public. What you do in private is going to determine on the laws that you pass in this land. If you're an evil person, you're going to pass evil laws. And you're going to pass laws that are not right. And it's going to bring destruction and the downfall of this country. And God is giving you a warning, man and woman. Do the right thing. Live the right way. God is warning us today. Do the right thing. Let him order your footsteps, because if you let man do it, you're going to wake up and we're going to be in more trouble in this country than we ever thought we could ever be in. And then it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Let me tell you, when a sheep was wounded or hurt by the others, the shepherd would take it and put it on what he called a shepherd's table. And he would protect that wounded sheep and take care of it and feed it and make sure it would mend. And he would not let any of the others get around it and protect it while it was healing. And the ones that hurt that one sheep, the one that hurt that little lamb would have to watch the shepherd looking over him, would have to watch the shepherd healing it and taking care of it and feeding it. In the presence of their enemies, they was prepared a table. And until they were well and strong, they were not put back into the flock. Let me tell you something. Don't worry about what other people are doing to you. Jesus has got a shepherd's table for you. He'll put you on his table and he'll take care of you, and he'll restore you, and he'll heal you. The wounds and the hurts that have come upon you, he'll take care of it if you'll let him lead you. He'll lead you to the shepherd's table, and he will prepare a table before you in the presence of the very enemy that tried to hurt you and harm you. And it says, thou anointest my head with oil. And I love that part. Because you see, when the sheep would go out in the field, there would be parasites that would attach itself to the sheep, and the shepherds would pull all over it, and the parasites would have to come off of the sheep. Let me tell you something, there's parasites, there's worldly parasites that try to attach themselves to us, but the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the power of God, will be anointed, that His anointing power will come down on us, the oil of the Holy Ghost will come down on us, and every old parasite and every evil thing that's tried to attach itself to us, I have to drop off in the name of Jesus. When you let the shepherd lead you up under the anointing oil, those things have to leave you. They can't stay on you. They can't draw the life out of you. They can't suck the life out of you, but He will restore you. He will anoint your head with oil, and then it says this, that your cup will run over. I love this part. In the Hebrew custom was that if a traveler come through your place, you were obligated to keep them for a certain length of time. And when that time was up, you would take them to the table and you would take their cup and fill it to the top, and they would drink it down and thank you for your hospitality, and then they would know they were to leave. But if they stayed in your home and you took them to the table when their allotted time was up, and you took their cup and you ran it over, that was a symbol and that was a sign that they could stay in your house forever. And that is the reason the psalmist says, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And then at the bottom of this chapter it says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let me tell you something. I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord forever because He's run my cup over. I'm going to dwell in His house. He said He would never leave me nor forsake me. That means I can stay in His presence forever. I don't have to leave. I don't have a 3-day pass and then I got to go. I will not be found in the lost and found. God don't put His children in the lost and found. He brings us in. He runs our cup over, and we can dwell in His house forevermore. And it says here this, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When you let the Lord order your footsteps, goodness and mercy is going to follow you. You know, today we talk about being stalked. We don't want to think anybody is stalking us. They got laws against stalking. You can't stalk somebody and follow them around. But right here, this is where I want to be stalked. It says goodness and mercy will follow me. If I'm in the valley, I look around and goodness and mercy's there. When I've been sick and in the hospital, I look around and goodness and mercy is there. When I have a financial need, I look around and goodness and mercy has followed me. When I'm on the mountaintop and everything is going good, I look around and goodness and mercy is there. When I'm down in the valley and it seems like all my friends are gone, I look around and I'm being stalked by goodness and mercy. Don't you want to be stalked by goodness and mercy? David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. Not half the days, not just when I'm young, not when I'm middle-aged, but honey, let me tell you, I'm talking to some of you, you that are in my category of the older generation. Mercy and goodness followed me when I was a young girl. Goodness and mercy followed me when I was a young woman. Goodness and mercy followed me when I was middle-aged. But I want you to know, child, that goodness and mercy is doing double time with me now. God's blessing me coming in, and He's blessing me going out. David said, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. And if you'll let the Lord order your footsteps, you're going to find out you're going to be led in the paths of righteousness. You're going to be led where there is no fear. You're going to be led where the waters are calm and still. You're going to be led where you're going to be anointed and taken care of. You're going to be led where your enemies can't get to you. He said, I'd make your enemies to be at peace with you. And then He said that you would be comforted. When you let God lead you, you'll be comforted. He sent the comforter to to us the Holy Ghost. And if you'll follow Jesus, and that old hymn says, I will follow where he leadeth. I will pasture where he feedeth. That's what we need to set in our heart. Like Ruth told Naomi, your God's going to be my God. Your land's going to be my land. Where you live, I'm going to live. And that's the way we need to be with God. God, wherever you tell me to go, that's where I'm going. I'm going to follow Jesus. Follow him every day, all the way, all along the way. Never turn your back. Never turn and go. So many people today are in distress because they follow their own way and listen, the heart will deceive you, but you gotta go by God's word. We're seeing today people are not preaching the whole gospel. They're teaching you today you don't have to be sin conscious. Honey, you better be sin conscious. You better pay attention to sin, and when it dries up, you better get rid of it. You better put it under the blood, not go there. But if you follow Jesus, if you follow him and let him order your footsteps, you're not going to be led into evil and wrongdoing and a wrong way of living. The Bible says that your cup's going to run over and you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have a real problem with Christians that are always laying out of church. I don't like that. I think you ought to have your family time. I think you ought to do things with your family. But let me tell you, if it's always keeping you out of church, you better rethink it. There's nothing important as hearing the word of God and supporting your church and getting behind your church and backing it up. If ever there was a time you go back to church and you get on your knees and you pray, you better do it now. That's a remedy. Let me tell you. Ever who's listening, your leader, a politician, a preacher, whatever, a teacher, let me tell you, the remedy for our country, the remedy for fallen man is this. Go back to church, get on your knees, and pray. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, he said he would forgive them of their sins, and he said he would come down and heal their land. That's what we need, is a humbling of ourselves and to ask God to forgive us of the sin that this country has committed, and to turn back to God. Have a turning back to God and call on him. Get on your knees. Get on your and pray and get back to the house of God. We need to know that we need to dwell in his house forevermore. We need to dwell in his presence, and we need to be ever mindful that the Lord needs to order our footsteps. And when we yield ourselves to him, he will tell us where to go and he will direct our paths. Today, I encourage you to give your whole heart to him. Don't just half-hearted. Don't give him a wink and a nod. Some people think they could serve God with a wink and a nod. You can't do it. You got to serve him with your whole being, your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and your whole being. He gave us his all. We need to give him our all. And you cannot have the true joy and victory. When David sinned, he asked that God would restore the joy of his salvation. Some of you don't have joy because you're still in sin. You need to let the Lord order your footsteps. Order it to repentance. Order it to the old-fashioned altar. Get on your knees and pray and ask God to have mercy on you, forgive you of your sins, and he'll do it. He'll in no wise cast you out. He won't turn his back on you. He won't give up on you. He can take care of anything in your life, no matter how hard you think it is. It's not too hard for God. He is saying, let me order your footsteps. Let me lead you into good path. Let me bless you. Will you let him do that today? Ask Jesus into your heart. Ask him to come in and to be your shepherd, to lead you and guide you, to be your Savior. He will. Call on him. He loves you today. Oh, the sweetest hymn that you can ever sing is, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. Tune in again next week. And may you have a marvelous day in Jesus.